Soulja Boy Tell.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hey everybody, I am back and better than ever. I don't know if I'm better than ever, but I'm back. I successfully survived the flying metal death tube trip to Orlando, Florida to Disney World. I had a great time there. Man, I'm getting too old for this crap. I'm plumb worn out from walking around Disney World and Universal. By the last day, we were just like, man, we're not even going to go to the park today. We're just going to chill and rest and let the kids swim, because that is not a relaxing vacation. I knew it wasn't going to be a relaxing vacation. I've been to Disney World several times, but I don't know. I guess my age is catching up to me, because my feet were killing me. I was tired. It was a good trip though. Went to Disney World for 4 days, and then went to Universal for two. Got to ride pretty much everything. The only thing we did not get to do, Rise of the Resistance at Disney World. They have that virtual line thing that you get in, and it is absolutely a horrible system. I don't know. They need to do something with it, because like, you try at 7 in the morning and you get like basically one shot and it's gone. And then I think they do another one at 4, but kind of the same thing. It's just so fast. You get one chance to click a button and it says it's full. It's just not a good system. And Universal was great. I go back to Disney World for a second. Yes, I did cry when I saw the Millennium Falcon. So that is official. It was just so beautiful to see it. I enjoyed the Millennium Falcon ride somewhat. I do get on those rides where you're sitting in a thing and you have a screen in front of you and stuff starts moving around. I get motion sickness from that now. I don't know. I didn't get it when I was younger, but I get it now, and I get dizzy pretty easily. And so that was, it started off good and kind of got bad a little quick. Same thing happened to me on the Pandora ride, the Avatar ride. The same thing happened to me on that. It's odd, because when I go on like a roller coaster, which I don't like roller coasters, not a big fan, but I did go on some. I went on a Rock and Roller Coaster, and I really don't get the motion sickness on those. Now, granted, my eyes are closed most of the ride, but I don't get motion sickness on those. Universal was awesome. The Hagrid ride, we went on that. That was great. It's like you're sitting on a motorcycle, which for some reason made me feel better about the ride. I don't know why. Rather than just sitting there like you would for a roller coaster, actually sitting there holding on bars like you're riding a roller, like you're riding a motorcycle, just for some reason didn't affect me like a roller coaster would. So, but it was a great ride. I was kind of ticked at that though too, because they also have a virtual line for that, which I was able to get a slot, but the virtual line just gets you a place in line. I still had to go stand in line and wait for 2 hours. Like, it makes no sense. Why have a virtual line if you have to actually stand in line? I thought the virtual line like put you in place in that line already, and then you just got to go on the ride when you got there. But that is not the case. You still had to wait another 2 hours to get on the ride, which was not very fun. So, but did have a very good time at both Disney World and Universal. Two very different parks, very different experiences. I felt Universal was more, I didn't feel like I was rushed as much, I guess. We had the Express Pass at Universal, so for most of the rides, I got to go walk right on, which was awesome. So I guess I didn't feel like I had to run around to try to get in line on rides. I didn't have to go from one area to the other. Let me tell you, if you're a Harry Potter fan or your kids are Harry Potter fans, Universal just did an amazing job with the Harry Potter world, the Diagon Alley, and the Hogsmeade area. Just a tremendous job with just how you're basically, when you go into that Diagon Alley, you're just transformed into that world, and they really just did an amazing job of that. My kids got to do their get their wands and all this other stuff, and they have interactive wands, and you can go around Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade and do interactive magic spells and different things interact with it. But it was really cool. They had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. It was a good trip. Glad to be back. Glad that I didn't crash and die in a plane. So that's always a plus. obviously, while I was gone, the world doesn't stop while you're on vacation. So LSU's had a lot of things kind of going on during that time period, which we'll get into. Some good, mostly bad, to be honest. I don't know. Let's get into it. I'm gonna start. It's really not LSU football related, so I won't say LSU football, but it's just basically LSU related, I guess, in general, and it has to do going back to the Hush Blackwell report. I told you guys many times that people weren't gonna stop investigating these things, and that this wasn't over, and that suspending Miriam Sager and Virge Ausberry wasn't going to be the end of this. And it's not. While I was gone, Sharon Lewis, an LSU and associate AD, is basically suing LSU, I want to say for $50 million, suing LSU board members, Taylor Porter, and others, alleging a RICO Act conspiracy to cover up Title IX complaints and years of abuse and retaliation for reporting Les Miles' sexual harassment claims. Defendants in the lawsuit include Virge Ausberry and Miriam Seeger. They were disciplined, obviously, last month for the mishandling of the sexual harassment. This lady, Sharon Lewis, describes a pattern of abusive treatment and retaliation by Les Miles, Ausberry, and Seeger, and compliance director Bo Bassin and other. She says that she has retaliation that's continued to this day. She said Miles harassed her and undermined her for years, trying to sexualize the group of student workers she supervised. Ausberry verbally abused her, she said, and Seeger lied to the Title IX investigator to get her into trouble. Some background about Lewis. She's the first black woman football recruiting director in Southeastern Conference. She says she was denied pay raises and promotions and ridiculed in front of her coworkers to find another job. And was told to find another job when she complained, and she suffered a mental breakdown. She claimed that Ausberry called her a stupid and incompetent bitch. I can curse now because Lent is over. On a phone call with Wilson, unaware that Wilson had him on speakerphone and that Lewis was in the room. Lewis says she reported Ausberry's comment to Seeger, who told her that he and she and Ausberry are like brother and sister, and that was just how they spoke to each other. I have brothers and sisters, and I don't ever recall calling any of them an incompetent bitch. So, I don't know that that's the case. Look, bottom line with this whole story is, LSU suspended Sager and Ausberry. We've talked about it. It's not enough. They need to be fired. Les Miles, as far as I'm concerned, is a piece of shit. It's not funny, but just ironic that, he just had such a clean, squeaky, good guy image. At least I think nationally, maybe outside, maybe not in the building, maybe people knew about him. And that's kind of aggravating too, is that if people knew this is how he was, why wasn't, was it reported and just not handled, or was it just not reported? And from this, it seems like it was reported because she went to Seeger and Ausberry and they didn't do anything. So I guess my question is to the media people around that time is, why didn't they know about it? Or did they know about it and just not report it? You get people with positions of power and people don't report because they're afraid of losing access, to be honest. If you're a reporter and you say, hey, I'm going to publish a story in Les Miles, well, then your credentials get pulled and all this stuff. And it's just very a sticky, I guess, situation. You're eventually just gonna have to have a reporter just show up with some balls and some guts and report on things and not worry about their, getting their press credentials pulled or whatever. I don't know, but it's just a messy situation. The whole thing is, again, Osbury and Seager need to go. I don't think that's why they're still employed is beyond me. It really is. They really need to go. And this isn't, and I'll say again, I don't think it's over. I really don't. I think there's more shoes to drop. I mean, getting sued for $50 million, that's not pocket change. That's can really hurt your program and stuff. So I don't know. LSU just needs to do the right thing, and they're not at this point. They're really not. And it's just very upsetting and disappointing. And it's hard for me as a Tiger fan because it's like I'm disappointed and I'm mad at them, but I also want to support the team that I've followed all my life and the team that I love and the team that I podcast about. It's like, man, I really want to just not follow LSU anymore, but at the same time, my love for the university is so deep that it's just like I just don't know what to do. It's like, do I stop following, stop giving them money, buying LSU merchandise, going to games, do I stop doing all that stuff in a protest, so to speak, to maybe enact some change? And I don't know that me doing anything would do it. It would have to be something on a large scale for them to really step up and take notice and be like, wow, it's always financial. When they lose money, that's when they act, or when they're going to lose endorsements or whatever, sponsors, or they lose their ESPN deal or something, has to happen. I don't know. It's just really, I don't think my puny money that I spend to them is pocket change, so me not doing it really isn't going to do much. It'd have to be something on a larger scale. But anyway, like I said, this ain't going away. It's going to be around. So until it gets resolved, LSU is just going to have this black cloud hanging over them, and it just really sucks. But I will now move kind of into LSU football. All right, LSU has their spring game this Saturday. I believe it is at noon, or two. I don't even know. I'm just out of sorts. I'm trying to catch up with everything from being away. But another spring game is this Saturday. So if you can get there, I would say go. Ogeron had a press conference yesterday. It's funny. He says he's impressed with this player or that player, but it really doesn't matter until they get on the field. He's impressed with sophomore corner Dwight McLaughlin. That's great. Through spring ball. He said that they're thin at running back right now. Emery won't be playing in the spring game Saturday. So I feel you're probably going to see a lot of passing, which people want to see anyway. They want to see how this new offense is going to flow. And, spring games are good, but you're not really going to see a whole lot because they don't want to give too much away. But it's fun to go. It's free. They're going to have, I believe, the lower bowl open, which, will fill up pretty good, and it's free. So if you can get out there Saturday, go. And then the baseball game is after that. If you can get out there, go. That's really all the football news I got right now. So we're going to move on to LSU basketball. All right, LSU basketball. So the departures have begun. Announced this week that Javonte Smart will be leaving and entering the draft. Darius Daze will be entering the NBA draft. And the one that hurts me the most, unfortunately, is Tredyn Wofford with his glorious hair will be entering the NBA draft. You knew this was coming. You know, they've played their time, they did their thing, and I wish all these guys the best. We've started getting in some new players. Xavier Pinson is a transfer that will be coming from Missouri. Since we obviously play Missouri in the SEC conference, we know him well. He's done very well against us. So he is a pretty good player that will, hopefully bring a little spark back into the guard position. He's a really good player. So hopefully that will translate over during games. As long as you have Will Wade as your coach, you've got a chance. So he's going to do well with recruiting, and he's going to bring people in. So I think they'll always be pretty good with that. Really, that is it for LSU basketball right now, with those three departures and Mr. Pinson coming in. So we're going to move on to LSU baseball. All right, LSU baseball. There's, I guess, the good, the bad, and the ugly with LSU baseball right now. The good, we took the series versus Kentucky this past weekend. We won two out of three games, 15-2, 8-6, and then lost the last game 4-13. So bats kind of came alive the first two nights. Obviously the last night didn't go as well, and that kind of leads to the bad. Jaden Hill is out for the year with a torn UCL, which obviously just is heartbreaking for him. He was our Friday night ace, and we had three starters. We talked about this, I think, the last podcast or one of the previous ones. If you have him, Labus, and Marceau, you have a good chance of possibly winning a series because Labus, especially on Sunday, is a real ace to have. Now we don't have those three pitchers. They're still kind of trying to figure out who that third starter is going to be. This past weekend versus Kentucky, Blake Money started that last game. Honestly, I really think, in my personal opinion, that Helmers should be the starter, that third starter. He's been pitching midweek games. I know he's a freshman, but he's been pitching midweek games and really doing a great job. I want to say he pitched the midweek game between Vandy and Kentucky, so that's probably why he didn't start Sunday. However, this week's midweek game against Southern, which was supposed to be, I'm sorry, versus Grambling, that was supposed to be yesterday, got canceled due to rain. So maybe he will start the Sunday. Well, I said the Sunday game. This week, the games are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for South Carolina. That's the good and the bad. And the ugly was the Vanderbilt series. Vanderbilt, and I told you this was going to happen. We got swept by Vanderbilt. It wasn't pretty. We lost 13-1, 11-2, and 5-4. Obviously, that last game was a little bit closer, but it's still a loss. LSU is right now 3-9 in conference, 20-12 overall, which obviously just 3-9 in conference is god awful. And then you lose Hill, so you got to figure out what you're going to do with that third starter. LSU does play South Carolina. South Carolina is the number 10 team in the country. This isn't some bad team that's coming in where we can get a easy series win. It's going to be a struggle the whole way through. The game Thursday is at 6:30 on ESPNU. The game Friday is at 7 p.m. on SEC Plus, and the game Saturday is at 2. on SEC Network Plus. I am actually going to the game Thursday. I'm very excited about that, weather permitting. I'm taking my daughter to the game, kind of random out of the blue. She was like, she told me she'd like to go to an LSU baseball game. So I said, you ain't got to tell me twice. So I bought her and me tickets, and we're going to the Thursday game. So that is tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to reporting back to you on that. Giovanni DiGiacomo has been starting at center field. He obviously brings very a lot of speed to that position. You know, power wise, he's not up there, you know, with some of the other guys, but you know, we're not winning anyway at this point, so you might as well put him in. He has legged out a few hits and stuff, so you know, that's you can't fault, you know, him for that. The speed just kills, man. He's just so fast and so quick on the bases. So he's starting there. You know, everybody else pretty much the same. Travinsky's been kind of rotating back and forth at catcher. Beloso actually had a very good series against Kentucky this past weekend, so he seems to be coming along a little bit at that DH spot, which you know you love to see. Co-freshman of the week, Jordan Thompson, got co-freshman of the week. Batting 600 over the weekend, he was 9 for 15, scored 6 runs, had 3 RBIs, and a 714 on base percentage. So, congrats to Jordan Thompson. I don't know what Maneri's gonna do with this third pitching spot. Like I said, I really think it should be Helmers. Garrett Edwards has been politicking to get that spot. I don't know. It's whatever decision they make, knowing Maneri, it's gonna be the wrong one. But we'll see. I don't know. I don't necessarily trust Maneri to make the right decision in these situations. It's gonna be a struggle against South Carolina this week. I'm assuming Marceau will start Thursday. Friday will be Labus, and then we'll see what they do on Saturday. So I don't know. That is it for LSU baseball. I'm gonna move on a little bit to LSU gymnastics. I can't make it down, I can't make it down. So get down to your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Haley Bryant, named freshman Region 1 Gymnast of the Year. So congratulations to Haley. It's not a surprise, she's just had a strong season all around. LSU is moving on to the Natty tournament. That will be this weekend. That is in Fort Worth. It will be on ESPN2 at 5 p.m. Central. I don't see a date. They're starting on floor, so they'll end on beam, which is just tough to end on beam. It really is. But that's what they'll do. Also, Jay Clark named Region 1 Coach of the Year. So congratulations to Jay Clark. He's just done an extraordinary job taking over for Didi Bro. You knew he was going to. You know, obviously he's been with the program for a long time, and he's just done a tremendous job. So, 5 p.m. ESPN2. It is Friday evening. The semifinal, and then the finals will be the following day at 2:30. It will be on ABC on Saturday at 2:30. So hopefully we can make it to the finals. We will see. So good luck, girls. I know they are on, they actually flew out to Fort Worth yesterday. So, go Tigers, go get them. I really appreciate, again, all the follows and listens and everything. Please go and follow us on Twitter at Tiger underscore podcast. That is at Tiger underscore podcast. If you are not on Twitter, join. Twitter's a fun, interesting place. I don't know if interesting is the right word, but it's an interesting, fun's the right word, but it is an interesting place. So please join Twitter, follow us there. You know, The next show will probably be more in depth and in detail. I do apologize for this one not being as much detail. Like I said, I just got back and trying to catch up on Tigers, trying to catch up on work. So it's just been a, and I'm running around all over the place this week and this weekend doing a crawfish boil on Saturday. Very excited about that. We'll have Jeff from the Dome Patrol will be there. Maybe we'll do a little live stream. So, check that out on Facebook. That's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network. We only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the Two Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, which we're recording a show sometime today, so that one should be coming out soon. And don't forget our draft spectacular live stream that will be coming on the 29th of April. Let's see, the BS and Beer podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, and Taking It Over with Billy Gunn, and also the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger or underscore podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, just go to domepatrolpodcast.com. I appreciate all you guys, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Make Mike the Tiger stand right up and